tonight, if you'd turn with us over in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 1, I'd like to deal in an area in that scripture this evening. I appreciate the good morning that we've had. It seemed that the Lord rearranged our plans this morning. We just want to plug right back in tonight and try to get in the Word of God and see what He'd have for us this evening. I'd ask that you would pray for us this week as we'll be going up in the Carolinas holding a meeting. I desire your prayers. God, give us traveling safety, power, and the Spirit of God that we may encourage, and we may see souls saved for the honor and the glory of our great God in these last days. What a great day to be a Christian. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. My goodness, y'all ever thought about where you could be tonight instead of at the house of God, fixing to open up and hear the Word of God? We that had a bad past life, I thank God I didn't get caught. I mean that. I could be in jail tonight. You say, what for? For the things that you didn't get caught for. Amen. But God's been good to me, and I'm thankful for how good He's been. We take a lot of things for granted. Man, you look around here tonight. I appreciate you being back in the house of God on Sunday night. This morning, the Spirit was great. I'm glad I can go to a church where you can still enjoy the things of the Lord. Revelation chapter number 1, the Bible said, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John, who bear record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is and which was and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us, what about that, and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory, dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, He cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see Him. They also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. You may be seated tonight. Father, we love You. And so we thank You for this time together this evening around the Word of God. We thank You, Lord, that we still live in a land where we can do this tonight. And God, I thank You for how good that You've been to me in my Christian life. God, I thank You for the grace and the mercy that You've showed and shared upon me. I pray now You let preaching be easy a little while tonight. And I pray, O Spirit of God, You would teach me and help me to exalt the precious Son of God in these last days of preaching. Help us now, and we'll be careful to honor You and thank You for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. I want to preach tonight from John on the isle that is called Patmos. The isle that is called Patmos. He said, certainly in verse number 9, he said, I am your brother. I'm glad I'm in the family this season. Now, Jesus said these words. It wasn't by opinion. It
was simply this: you must be born again. Now, in 1961, when I was born in the Bowman family, I was born a natural man. I was born in the Bowman family. But when I got to be 20 years of age in 1981, God dealt with my heart, and I was saved by grace through faith. A lot of people think that it's so hard to be saved, but it's simply this tonight. When a person hears the Word of God, and the Spirit of God deals with their heart, then they have the option, and they have the opportunity to call upon one that loves them and hung and died for their sins. But in 1981, I got born again in the family of God. And now I have brothers and sisters in Christ. We may not all exactly cross our T's and dot our I's alike. That's why we're individuals. God don't have cookie-cutter preachers. God don't have cookie-cutter Christians. We're individuals, saved and washed in the blood. But aren't you glad that we're in the family tonight? Brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, John said this. He said, "I am your brother and companion in tribulation." Now, don't think it's strange tonight if you find yourself in fiery trials. John stood for the Lord. John, matter of fact, loved the Lord as much as any man in the Bible. All through the gospel parallels, you'll find where John was always the closest to Jesus' heart. He would lay his head upon his bosom, a man that knew the heartbeat of God. It'd do us good tonight as a child of God to know something about the heartbeat of God. John knew about that. And John is letting us know, I'm not sitting in a nice house this evening. I'm not up on public boulevard and they're not parading around me. But I want to let you know where I am. I'm on the isle that is called Patmos simply for one reason, because of the Word of God. You know, I appreciate the Lord in these last days showing grace to America. You know, tonight I realize that the pulpit should not be the politician's ire when church is gathered. But I'm going to tell you, I got enough guts and backbones to tell you this tonight. We ought to be voting for those that allow the Word of God and stand for the sanctity of life. We ought to stand against those that say homosexual marriage is still right. We ought to stand up in our Bible and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And John said, because of the Word of God, I found myself on an island that was called Patmos. Have you ever found yourself to be on an island? Seems like you're all by yourself. You know, John found himself pretty much stranded, but not forsaken. John found himself struggling, but not forgotten. John found himself suffering. But he said, I want you to know something. I wasn't all by myself. And so the devil would love for us to get on a pity party and think, you know, you're all by yourself and nobody cares. And I want to tell you, in your Christian experience, if you really love God, you worship the Lord Jesus, and you stand for what's right in this Bible, there's going to be times that you'll feel very much alone. Now, let's look at three things here tonight about John on this isle called Patmos. It was just a little rock island. Wasn't very long. No doubt John was put in hard labor. No doubt John was under great ridicule, and he was under great approach for the Word of God. And we pick him up now as the Lord comes to him, and we find John in isolation. We see he's isolated from where he lived. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I feel very isolated from where I live. People's gone crazy. I don't know what happened to common sense. and core values in our country. And sometimes I feel so isolated about where I live. John felt isolated because of where he lived, but John felt real isolated because of those that he loved. Everybody he had ever known that he'd walked the paths with, he'd been isolated and put in a small place all by himself. So we see that of isolation. But now, look if you would in verse 10, on the isle called Patmos, not only do we see John found something about isolation, but I want to look in tonight and we find that John found something about illumination. In verse 10, he said, I was in the capital spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now I want to say, first of all, to be in the spirit on the Lord's day. Now the Lord's day is a special day. All through the old Bible, they met on the Sabbath. God said to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. But you'll remember when Jesus died on the cross, they put Him in the tomb. And on the third day, He arose. And upon the first day of the week, those disciples, they gathered together in the upper room and Jesus appeared unto them. Now, from now on out through all of your Old Testament, the Lord has instructed us upon the first day of the week. By the way, the first day of the week is Sunday. It ought to be a very important day in our life. We ought to raise our families and our children, our loved ones, that we are to respect the Lord's day. The Lord's day is a day where we come apart from this whole world. We come in the church. And I never understood why these boys have went to marketing techniques and they become like the world and draw the world. I want to remind you something tonight. If we don't have the power and the Spirit of God, then we are not God's people. We need the Spirit of the Lord to meet with us every time that we gather together and we get out of this old world and we come together. Now you hear me and hear me well. Sinners are always welcome. But honey, let me tell you, the church is not made up of the world. It is a special place. It's the called out ones, the born again by the grace of God. And John said, even though I was in isolation, I realized the Lord's day. And it was a great day. I'm going to tell you, it's a great day on Sunday to be saved. Thank God we say hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. I'm glad I've got something better than religion tonight. I've got something living in me that won't turn loose. Thank God. I'm glad I'm on the winning side tonight. It was on the Lord's day. It ain't your day. And it ain't my day. It's the Lord's day. And so we find out now there's illumination. Now look what it says. He said, I was in the Spirit. First of all, we see that we must be in touch with Him to be in the Spirit. He said in verse 10, I was in the Spirit. But then secondly, not only should we be in touch with Him, but we ought to be in tune with Him. Look what He said in verse 10. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Folks, not only should we be in touch with Him, and matter of fact, the Bible says, now listen and listen real good, because you're not going to heaven without this. The Bible said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. I want to tell you, the day that my heart turned to God and trusted Him to save me, I seen myself as a sinner. That day, God baptized me in the family of God. He put the Spirit of God in me. set a seal upon me. It's what Ephesians said. I sure am glad I'm one of His tonight. Now, the day I got saved, I couldn't keep doing the way I used to do. I'd try it from time to time, but it was something different now. Something that lived in me bothered me now. It was conviction. I love the message Brother Jody preached on Wednesday night in the camp meeting. When conviction don't bring correction. And that is so important tonight. Oh, we need to be in touch with Him. Then we need to be in tune with Him. Now, He said, not only was I in the Spirit, but He said, I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I'm glad we've got the Spirit of God that can not only touch us, but He can tune us. And in verse 12, watch your Bibles, He can turn us. He said, now turn to see the voice that spake with me. You see, in this of illumination, John was touched. John was tuned. And John was turned. And that's where our whole church needs to be tonight. We need to simply be in touch, be in tune, and be turned to what God wants us to do. Now I want to say this and see, does it make reason to you tonight? I told you the day that I got saved was in 1981. I was born physically in 1961. Now, I think if mathematics are right, around March of next year, I'll be 58 years old. Now, this old man is good at what he does. He's been doing it a long time. This flesh is still flesh. And it's still blood. But now there's a new man living in me. The Bible speaks of it many times. And so I want to talk about this tonight on being in touch with Him. This old man is a nuisance. Somebody say amen. Matter of fact, Paul said something. You know what I'm going to enjoy? It's a lot of fun. I'm going to preach a message one night on why I want to go to heaven. And I can tell you one of the reasons that I want to go to heaven, there will be no more sin of my flesh. You know, a lot of times, and I'm going to be honest with you, I won't try to do the best that I can, and somebody will pull out in front of me and get me mad, or somebody will sass me and be a smart aleck to me. And for long, that old man is nearly 58 years old. He's real good at what he does. He raises up in me. I can feel him raise up. My ears get red. Amen. And my hands go to trembling. And so Paul writes something about this to let us know that we're not alone. He said in Romans 7:15, I'm talking about being in touch with the Spirit of God now, the new man, the old man. He said in Romans 7, verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. I hate it when I mess up. I mean, I get so down on myself. Then he says simply this, if then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now Paul's a saved man. He's talking about this old nature that's in him, that old sinful nature. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. You remember I read this morning out of the book of Galatians about when a man thinks he's something when he is nothing. We better all realize without the Spirit of God tonight, we are nothing. And so he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He said, for the will is to present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. In other words, he says, let me tell you something. He said, I hate sinning. And if you're saved tonight, sin ought to bother you. Sin ought to depress you, and sin, when you lay down with it at night, it ought to convict you and bother you real bad. Paul said, I hate to be sinful. He says, but it's something in me that I have to keep a watch on. He said, I find that a law that when I would do good, evil's present with me. You ever got up from your prayer place, been praying, and this flesh rears up before you've eat your biscuit? It's a battle. It's a struggle. Talking about being in touch with the Spirit of God tonight. Then look what he says in verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members or in my flesh. Look, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me in captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now we realize when Jesus, listen to me, when Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood, and the day when your heart turned to God by Christ and you trusted Him, the Bible says that we became justified by His blood. You'll never do good enough to earn to go to heaven. We're saved by grace through faith tonight, not of works. The only reason there's any good in us at all is because the blood of Jesus that has declared us righteous by faith. That's an amazing thing to me tonight. Now, talking about being simply in touch with the Spirit. Now, hear me out. For us to be in touch with the Spirit, there must be a getting right with others. There must be a getting right with others before you can get right with God. You cannot be right with God when you're wrong with your brother. The person you get along least with is the person that really tests our nature and our faith. I want to read that again because we need that read again. The person that really tests our nature, or the person that you get along least with, is the person that really tests our nature and our faith. Now, don't think you're good if you get along with nice people. But it is the person who gets along with people that irritates and worries them who surely is the Christian after Christ's heart. This old man in me and you is bad and persistent. Can I read that again? Y'all need to hear that again. This old man in me and you is bad and persistent. My shadow follows me everywhere I go. But I've noticed if I walk with my face toward the sun, my shadow is always behind me. My problem is when I turn away from the S-O-N and start walking my way and that sunshine, my shadow is in front of me. And he causes me a lot of trouble. But it sure is better when I'm facing the sun and that shadow that haunts me, he may be barking at me, but he ain't a-leading me. And so tonight, could we all just face toward the S-O-N and let us realize without him, we can do nothing. Next time somebody screams at you, turn around and look at the sun. That's a hard thing to do. So shake your little baby's head up and down tonight. Them folk that really irritate you and they make a jab at you. Oh, it's so hard to face the sun. But I tell you, it sure does me a whole lot better when my shadow's behind me instead of in front of me. Because let me tell you, that rascal gives me a lot of trouble when he gets in front of me. Well, y'all know it's good preaching tonight. Now, I want to say this evening, we must be tuned to the Spirit. We must be in touch with the Spirit. We must be turned by the Spirit. May we always face the Son, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let me deal with something about struggles in the flesh tonight. I challenge you to do this. The next time your flesh is about to get total control of you, would you just remember this little sermon and look toward the sun, say, "Lord, help me." Let that sun shine on you and put that shadow behind you. You'll do a lot better in life if He's behind you instead of that shadow in front of you. Number three, there's isolation. There is illumination. But lastly tonight, there's an illustration. Isn't it amazing when John got all by himself and felt alone? He wasn't alone. The Lord appeared to him. And can I tell you, as a child of God tonight, if Christ lives in you, you're never alone. You may feel lonely at times, but you're never alone. And this is what's so amazing to God. He proves Himself. God proves Himself. I'm glad we don't have to prove Him. He proves Himself. Now, look what John saw. I'll be done preaching tonight. This thing of illustration. It's found in verse number 13 of Revelation 1. He said, "And in the midst he saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass. They burned in a furnace. And his voice is a sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death." Now, the sight John saw. In verse 11, you'll notice there's Christ's personality. He said, "I turned to see the voice that spake with me." He said, "He got my attention." But then in verse 13, you'll notice there's Christ's position. He was in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. What is the golden candlesticks? It's the church that's reflecting the precious Son of God. You'll find Jesus in the midst three times in your Bible. You'll find Him simply many times in the midst of the storm. I'm glad that storms don't alarm Him. I'm glad Jesus can come walking up on the sea. You'll find Him in the storms, but here you'll find Him in the sanctuary. I sure am glad we've got a Christ that walks among us. How bad would it be to go to a church where Christ never walks amongst His people? You'd be surprised at the people that go to church Sunday after Sunday and they never do experience Christ walking in the midst. Here, John has an illustration. We see his personality. We see His position. He's in the midst. But then we see His person in verse 14. The Bible said that His head and His hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and His eyes were as a flame of fire. Now, His person. Look, if you would, in verse number 14, you'll notice Christ's purity. The Bible said His head and His hairs were white like wool. What a God that's full of wisdom. He is the mighty counselor tonight. Let me tell you something. God knows what's beyond the red light this evening. Oh, we see His person, His head and hair with His purity. Look in verse 14. You'll see His eyes with His perception. He had eyes were as a flame of fire. God can see in the dark places tonight. God can see in the shut-up place. Aren't you glad you got a God that's not blinded this evening? But He can see you where you are. We see His perception. Verse 15, we see His persistence. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. Then notice His voice. There we see power. And His voice is the sound of many waters. Isn't that amazing? His voice goes beyond that of Niagara Falls. Matter of fact, the power of His voice, people don't think this, but I want to say in closing tonight, He will have the final say. It's His Word that's going to stand when this world is a burning. And so we see the great power in His voice. Verse 16, look at His protection. He had in His right hand seven stars. Then we see His mouth, His great perfection. Verse 16, and out of His mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Then, if you would, notice His peerlessness in verse 16. He has no equals, and His countenance was as the sun shineth in His strength. When we get to heaven, we'll never be confused about where Jesus is or who Jesus is, because He will shine the brightest. We'll see Him there as the wounded lamb. He'll bear the scars of Calvary. He will be identified as the precious Lamb of God. I'm glad tonight, as John saw Him in His great power, His great protection, and His great perfection. But now notice this tonight in verse 17. John said, "And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead." I've heard people say, "Well, when I meet the Lord, I'm going to ask Him a bunch of questions." I doubt it. I doubt you'll have much to say except for, "Worthy is the Lamb." John fell at His feet as a dead man. Now, I'm interested in what happens next. He fell at His feet as dead, and He laid His right hand upon Him, and He said unto Him, "Fear not. For I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death." Now, notice this as John fell before Him. Not only do we see His personality and His position, His person, but His peace in verse 17. He said simply this, "When John fell before Him as a dead man, He laid His hand upon him and said, 'Fear not.'" I'm glad the touch of Christ will bring life tonight. He reached out and said, "Fear not." Can I tell you, the same Christ that brought Him peace can bring you peace tonight. The same peace that brought me peace years ago can bring you peace in this day and in this hour. And then in verse 18, not only His peace, but we see His power. He said, I'm He that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. You see, He holds the keys tonight. He is the key one. Don't miss Christ. Hell will be your home. If you surveyed America, they'd say there are many options, many ways to heaven. But this Bible says this. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. I want to so instill that in all of your children. That Jesus loves me. Jesus died for me. And I can get to God by Jesus. I can be saved eternally by Jesus. I want to so put that in their hearts, their spirits, and their little minds. There's no other option how to get there but one way. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I appreciate the good day that the Lord has given us.